everyone. I now call the Planning and Development Committee meeting to order. Please note that assisted living devices for use in the council chambers are available upon request from the clerk's office. Please ensure that all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent. Are there any members of council who have a disclosure of pecuniary interests? And I want to declare that I do have on the confidential item later on this evening, as the agent for the applicant is a relative. So the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. So we've got staff report, and staff report 2016-61, read the region appeal, Bolton residential expansion, regional official plan amendment, discussion paper dated April 15, 2016. Any holds? No? Okay. So that's Rob. Councillor Mezzapelli. The advisory recommendations from the advisory committee, the Heritage Caledon report dated May 19, 2016. Any requests for a hold on that? Approved. And then the confidential session item, confidential report 2016-15- advice from subject to solicitor client privilege. Anybody requesting a hold on that? No? Okay, so that's carried. Approved under consent. So we will move. We'll move to the public meeting. So we have one applicant regarding a proposed plan of subdivision, plan of condominium, King Street, King Station Facility Inc. for the property located at 232240 King Road West in Ward 5, Bolton. The purpose of the public meeting tonight is to gather input from the public concerning the application. Any members of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with the application being heard should direct those to the town's clerk's office. Any interested persons wishing further notification regarding the application are advised to clearly print their names and address on the notification list located on the table at the entrance to the council chambers. Following the presentation, the members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, clearly stating their name and address for the public record to provide their comments. If you have presentation material, please provide a copy to the recording secretary at the desk to your left, and please note that any information submitted this evening will form part of the town's record. Following the public's comments, members of council will be invited to ask questions of the presenters regarding information contained in the presentation. And please note that council members are here to listen to the comments of the public and are not here to provide an opinion or debate the matter. So I would now ask Brendan Ward, the town's senior development planner, to please confirm that notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act for the public meeting concerning this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can confirm that notice for both receipt of the complete application and of this public information meeting was in fact conducted in accordance with the Planning Act requirements.
Okay, thank you very much. I will now call on Ryan Guter from Weston Consulting to begin a presentation on behalf of the King Street Station Facility, Inc.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of council. My name is Ryan, and I'm here to just walk through a very brief presentation. This is a project that's really implementing something that was considered previously and is the subject of an official plan amendment and zoning application that was considered earlier this year and ultimately has been considered by council. So this is really implementing the nature of that. There are no changes to the ultimate development that's contemplated here, so just to make that clear. And the lands in question here are King Street frontage and Station Road. And the current planning framework, which is also fairly well advanced and is, again, the subject of other applications. This evening, we're dealing with the plan of subdivision that implements the official plan, but is in the urban area. It's contemplated for development, so we're ultimately implementing the underlying framework, both in the region appeal official plan that contemplates development, as well as the town of Caledon official plan. And as I noted, the town staff had a report that came before council with the general principle of the official plan, which contemplates a certain number of units in the form of a seniors development at the corner, and then a block of townhouse development in and behind along King Street. This just shows the existing zoning, and again, this particular land has been the subject of ongoing zoning application materials as well, and these applications are implementing those. So you can see before you the proposed official plan amendment that identifies the lands and also, very importantly, protects what was considered to be the environmental protection lands in green on the left slide, and the proposed zoning, which delineates the various blocks for development and provides for the EPA zone. These applications are intended to facilitate a total of 60 townhouse units and 140-unit seniors retirement facility. Again, everything is the same and is consistent with what was presented before and in public meetings and prior council consideration. And what we're also doing here, this is the plan of subdivision. It creates the various blocks, and what you'll notice is block one is the site of the seniors retirement facility. Block two is that of the common element townhouse block, and then you can see block three is the environmental protection area. There's also reserve blocks identified as well along the frontages. This is the plan of condominium, and it is a plan of common element condominium. And if the laser pointer works for me, you'll see that the common elements of the condominium are represented here as the road, the areas of the road, the common visitor parking areas, and the balance of the lands here are going to be created through individual title, and they represent the townhouse units. This is the overlay of the built form on top of the plans, and you can just see the delineation of, again, the retirement residence and its block, and then ultimately the blocks of the townhouse development. And again, there's been extensive work done with the Conservation Authority to identify the location of, and actually a fair amount of detail in the design of the retaining walls. That was a major sort of question and concern that had been brought up before, and we're happy to say that those issues have been well advanced since we were last before council, to a point where we filed our permit applications to the Conservation Authority, and we've provided detailed designs of the retaining walls, which staff have on file, and the engineering group have been reviewing those materials. This just shows you the extensive landscaping plan. Again, these matters will be implemented through the conditions of approval, not only through the site plan. There's also a site plan that's before the town as well. But this just shows you the extensive landscaping treatments that are envisioned as part of the development. These are a list of the studies, again, just to highlight the key issues that were raised previously. Stormwater management, the retaining wall design, those matters have been addressed and have advanced to quite a level of detail. And we expect that there will be conditions associated with any consideration of draft approval that will be implementing those various reports and their recommendations. So I will just turn it back here to sort of an initial site concept for discussion. And again, I'm here this evening to answer any questions that members of council have, or any that staff have, or members of the public, and listen to feedback. So thank you very much, and I will stand down, and if there's questions, I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Okay, are there any comments from the members of the public here tonight? If there are, please step up and state clearly your name. Step up to the podium and state your name. Okay. Do any members of council have any questions of the presenter? Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually have a few. I'm just wondering if you can address, because this is something that's been raised, is with respect to garbage pickups, fire and emergency vehicles getting in and out of there, snow removal, and your turnaround radius to allow for those vehicles to get in and out.
Absolutely. And through you to the questions and in the order, first of all, the way the, this is probably the best illustration to show it, the road pattern that's internal to the site is based on fulfilling not only the town of Caledon's requirements in terms of the town engineering staff's review, but most importantly, the region appeal governs the waste management aspect of waste in the region, and they have actually provided specific comments. And what you'll notice here, this actually shows the legal extent of what's going to be part of the common element, but the actual turning movements of garbage truck maneuvering is actually shown on this plan. We had to demonstrate full compliance with the proper sized utility vehicle that the, meets the region's requirements. That has been done. Okay. It's been submitted to the region and accepted by the region. And that was done as part of the site plan application process. So you'll notice all the necessary curve radii here. It's basically a 12-meter curve radius here, and the proper extent of turnarounds and the proper limit at the end of the turnarounds as well is very important. We've went through a very careful exercise to ensure there's enough depth to have the vehicles maneuver properly. That addresses your question about garbage. The same applies to fire routing, and that was specifically reviewed by not only town staff and found to be acceptable, but obviously we have to make sure that fire access meets the proper radii, and it does. It has been confirmed as such based on fire vehicles and emergency vehicles as well. And then with respect to snow storage, this is something that also was identified through the site plan process, and there are specific areas identified for snow storage on the current site plan. And those areas are in various locations. There's a few in various, at the ends of blocks at, in areas where, for example, this area here has been identified, this area here. So they're sort of sporadically located in different areas. And that has found been found to be acceptable as well by staff. So because this is also a condominium corporation, there will be specific snow clearing provisions in the condominium disclosure that will provide the opportunity for if there's a major snowfall event, as there typically will be in some years, the excess snow would need to be hauled off-site by the condominium corporation. Okay. So that's how that's addressed. So there's on-site provision, and then there would be declaration as part of the condominium.
Okay.
Also, just again touching on your comment about the turnaround areas, that would accommodate any size vehicles as well as the typical sort of moving vehicles if there's furniture deliveries and things.
Okay, thank you. With respect to the access on Station Road, is that access going to be a full move access or is it a ride in, ride out only? What is it?
I believe, and again, I'd have to refresh my memory of the specific traffic study that was done, but I know that the Station Road access, there were there's some additional work that was done to verify sight lines and the proper geometry of that access. It was accepted by engineering staff at the town based on the traffic study. And I do believe it was contemplated as a full moves access. And my recollection, and we've got the ability to perhaps pull the report out for specific details in that report, but there was a specific concern about sight lines, and that was addressed through a supplementary package that was sent into the town for review, which confirmed the adequacy of the sight lines, both in and out And what ended up happening was there were some adjustments that needed to be made to the retaining wall to accommodate proper sight lines and ensure safe access and egress.
Okay, thank you. I wouldn't mind just something from staff just to confirm in that report that the access is a full moves and with respect to sight lines, and that just to confirm from our engineering department that it was okay.
Sure, I can confirm that through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Groves. Their traffic impact study did do a detailed geometrics analysis of the sight lines for that access, and that was one of the recommendations of the traffic impact study, that to ensure that those sight lines achieve appropriate standards, that existing retaining wall be located, basically pushed further back into the site. Our Public Works Department did review that. They reviewed it through the site plan application as well as through the related official plan and zoning amendments, and did concur with that recommendation. Through the site plan submission, that will be indicated in all the plans that will be subject to our review and approval. And in order to ensure that the work is conducted accordingly, we will be taking and holding securities for the duration of that work.
Okay, thank you. I just have maybe three more questions that you can address. Now, I did hear a comment from residents who are living in the condominium unit, the townhome units at the top of the ridge. Is your retaining wall encroaching on their property or on that property?
No, there's been a lot of work put into the retaining walls, I can tell you. And what we've been able to do is reduce the, if you may recall that the original concept for these lands had a very extensive retaining wall,
yes,
and that was a major issue. Through the work of our development team, the owners, our engineers, specific consultants dealing with that technology, we were able to actually reduce the not only the height of the retaining wall, but the extent of it. And right now, I will kind of in a very rudimentary way show you. There's a retaining wall system along here that is entirely contained within the property. And what ends up happening is in this area, there's no retaining wall. And then what ends up happening is over here, there is a retaining wall along here. And again, this design has been the subject of a very detailed engineering submission, and there is no encroachment on any adjoining lands.
Okay.
And in fact, there's been a lot of work done on even the ultimate sort of the tiebacks, and looking carefully at the construction of that wall and excavation parameters. All those sorts of factors have been taken into account in the design brief that was done, and then also through the detailed design, because those were comments that came up and we worked to address them. So I'm confident that we have the very best of the engineering design advanced with the town. The town has conducted a peer review of that, and I guess we'll be addressing any little nuances to that review, and obviously constructing in accordance with those plans.
Okay, thank you. And with respect to Jaffrey's Creek, I know there's been a lot of work, and we've undertaken some work on Jaffrey's Creek, and I think there's still work to be done. Would that have any impact on any of the existing development with respect to water? I know that there were some issues quite a few years ago with the folks who are on Connaught, who back mm-hmm. onto this property, where they had some flooding issues there. And I think part of it was there was a manhole there somewhere in between the Connaught property and this property, and the water wasn't getting into the storm drain, I guess. So I just want to make sure that those issues are addressed, that for those folks who are on Connaught.
Yeah, and again, this is also something that was raised. I can tell you that we've got a very detailed and fulsome stormwater management study that was done, and my understanding at the present time is that that's been found to be acceptable by the town engineering staff, and ultimately elements of the implementation of that will be secured through conditions of the approvals mm-hmm. and through obviously there's also a number of additional parties that have an interest in stormwater management, including the TRCA, and they've reviewed the material as well. So, again, we've got to deal with accepted engineering design practice, which we've done. I can't speak to any specific details, not being the engineer, but I know that the town staff are well aware of the context and the drainage areas, and we had to consider that in terms of whether there's any relationship in terms of drainage as it exists today, but also under the development ultimate final design, we have to control stormwater management and not only quality but quantity, okay. And that has been addressed.
Okay, good. 49, there was a home that the previous developer, I think, I can't remember if he purchased it outright or he was looking at purchasing, and there were some concerns that there would be some type of a road going through. Is that off the table?
The plans before you do not depict any road connections to any other adjoining
okay.
land. So, yeah.
Okay, that was with the previous owner. So,
again, the
just
plans.
Wanted to make sure.
Yeah, the
those
plans
folks
are the
on
plans.
Cannot had some concerns, so just wanted to check that and make sure that it is on record that there wouldn't be any of that.
Not okay. with this application.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Thank you. And I don't know if you can answer this, but I know a lot of the seniors are inquiring because they're looking forward to this building going up and being able to have to move in. Is the building, and I know in the past, I think you were going to retain ownership of the building. Are you leasing the units or are you renting them, or are they being sold, or I don't know if you can answer that, but that's a question that keeps coming up from some of the seniors.
The way that it's intended is the actual proponents will be retaining the ownership and managing that facility. That's the current plan, and that's our understanding. The specific details of how the units are marketed, or whether they're rental or life lease or different things, hasn't been, I don't think, determined fully. But the ultimate tenure is intended. It's not a condominium tenure, based on what's envisioned here. It's a single block to be retained by the current owner, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, a separate condominium that would create individual units. So. Having said that, that's something that will emerge, and this application will provide the mechanism for actually advancing that whole program and making it known to the public, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we know that there's a very keen interest in this type of product, so this is a key milestone for us to actually start moving forward in those discussions and okay. figuring out what the market would bear well in that regard as well. So. The owners are involved in other sites that they operate as well. So
okay.
there's some
good.
Experience there.
Okay. So, and finally, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to put it on record that it, because concerns were raised, and the concerns that I raised today were raised from folks living on Rolling Hills and on Connaught and Top of the Ridge, that all of these things are addressed when you go through your I guess, site plan approval, and that drainage is addressed, stormwater management is also addressed, and slope stability. Those are the major things that surrounded this application, and we just want to make sure that moving forward all of those things are properly addressed. I think that's it.
That's okay. We do have planning staff recording, so they will make sure that it's part of the report.
Right.
Councilor McClure.
Yes, not Mary, but a couple of questions. What's the acreage of this subdivision? How big an area is it?
It is. The total area is about 2.6 hectares, almost 6.5 acres.
Okay, and this is almost all going to be townhomes. So, what is okay? And the senior residence.
Sorry.
What is how many people per hectare is this going to be?
A lot,
yeah.
The ultimate density is set out in really what was a board disposition of the original applications, and it basically set out a maximum number of total units for these lands. And that was set out to be, I believe it's 200.
200 per hectare.
200 for the lands. So if you divide that out by your acreage, you know, you're 100 and change per hectare, over 2.6 hectares on a gross basis. So in terms of density, in the context of, you know, the town of Caledon, this would be considered to implement a higher density regime. And from the standpoint of density regimes, and, you know, townhouse is typically not seen as high density. It's seen as more of a medium density product in the conventional sense of it. But this was identified as an appropriate site to intensify. And certainly in the context of the planning policy framework and what has now more recently been introduced by the province in the form of their proposed you know, intensification targets that we're all aware of and have to sift through, this would certainly, you know, be well in line with the idea of proper intensification.
Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. Thank you for your presentation this evening. I have followed this through its through the process as it's transitioned, and so most of my questions have been answered, but a couple just like to pose to you. I met a resident who asked a question up in the lobby, so I'll ask the question on their behalf. As far as vehicular access to the site, particularly for emergency vehicles, and I'm thinking, you know, the largest vehicle being an aerial, are there turning radii and widths that would permit access to through the entire road network?
Short answer is yes.
Okay.
Yep.
The other question I have, and I actually just had a meeting this morning, and out of curiosity, I'll ask the question. The town, in association with the TRCA, is embarking on a SNAP program, which is a Sustainable Neighborhoods Action Plan. And I could share the leaflet with you if you wish. And in the rough catchment area, this development is within it. And it talks about creating sustainable neighborhoods through design. And one of them is stormwater management, which you talked about earlier. So if you haven't already, it might be a good idea just to have a discussion with staff as to the SNAP program, and maybe there's opportunities for it to actually enhance the sustainability of the development as far as stormwater is concerned. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. When you talked about snow storage on site, you identified a number of places around the site, and one that you, if you could go to the slide that has the development.
The site plan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought one of the sites was the corner where the on the east side of the seniors residence.
Here?
Yes.
Yep.
So there's no concerns about turning radii with snow storage there for whatever vehicles may. That was part of the consideration?
Yeah. So just that plan doesn't appropriately reflect all the details, but. What this plan, and I can pass it around or identify it. We have a combination of a fire route that is a minimum of 6 meters from edge to edge in terms of width. That's the minimum fire code, fire route requirements. The minimum requirement for the radius to accommodate that is a centerline radius of 12 meters, and that's the region's waste requirements for waste vehicles and the requirements for fire, okay. Fire vehicles. But what you'll notice is in that particular area, we actually have snow storage identified in a couple locations actually here. This area is actually not for vehicle maneuvering at all. It's on the edge of the curve, which is actually a good place where you would have snow storage because the vehicles have the ability to just push it onto the what is a grassed area, and that's a good spot for it. There's no other facilities contemplated there. There's there's no doorways that swing open or anything like that. So it's a good spot for it. There's also a sidewalk next to it. And again, the matter of snow clearing for sidewalks will be determined and set out in the disclosure documentation as part of the condominium. And that will be something that would be addressed. So you'd have sidewalks, which there are throughout this, as well as the roads. They meet the requirements, and the snow storage areas are outside of those.
Okay.
Walkways, private driveways, and visitor parking areas.
Okay.
So there's not going to be a situation where we've designated
yeah.
a snow storage area where there's visitor parking areas. And that was, you know, we're meeting the town's requirements on visitor parking, which I know was a concern as well. But we're also addressing snow storage, and there's no conflict between those measures. So hopefully that gives you an answer to the question.
It does, and I appreciate the fact that was considered
yep.
in your review. The other comment, sticking on the topic of vehicular access and maneuverability, the southern edge of the development between the two blocks.
This area here?
Yeah, actually on the developed portion. So
yep.
between the two blocks?
East yes.
to, yeah. So my understanding is that is an opportunity for vehicles that have entered the site to be able to do a three-point turn and get themselves out. Would that be true?
That's correct. What you have to appreciate is that in a normal condition where, and this is where, this will meet the requirements for very large vehicles. Based on the region's waste management requirements and fire trucks and emergency vehicles. A typical passenger vehicle can make that turn coming out of their driveway on a standard
yeah.
6 meter wide pavement area. So
okay.
it meets accepted design practice for turnarounds in the right locations. And again, not only have town staff reviewed and accepted the configuration and the location of the turnarounds, and maneuverability, but as has the region and their waste management group.
Okay, and I think I know the answer to my question, but I'll ask it anyways. Excuse me. So with the visitor parking that is there,
mm-hmm.
There is enough width for a large vehicle to back up into that area and be clear of those parked vehicles?
Absolutely.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure. That is it for myself. Thank you very much.
Hey, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation. Still a little, need a little bit of clarification here. You said that there's a retaining wall, but I have no idea how high that retaining wall is. Can anybody here tell me how high it is?
If you, through you, Mr. Chair, if you can bear with me a moment, I can pull the drawings
okay.
and tell you
I'd
precisely.
Like that. And
sure.
I have a question for staff. Retaining walls, are we allowed to put them on the EPA one land? I'm just thinking more like a terracing idea as opposed to a wall that's just straight up and really high. So maybe this will.
If I may, through you to the question, this actually illustrates it very, very well. And I'm going to see if I can find this on the presentation. Just it shows it, but not all that clearly. In fact, what we've done, and I'll let you finally approach. You know, this will give you a clear picture of it. I'll describe it on the screen. What we have is one of the major things that we did do is we actually did incorporate a terracing of the retaining wall, and the largest. Extent of the retaining wall height is actually in this location here.
Right.
And this is where we identified a series of tiers. There's actually three tiers. And those are intended to provide for a good transition so that you don't have the situation where you're staring at a brick wall or a concrete structure or something. It helps with two different factors. Number one, it diminishes the overall visual intensity of it. It also assists with the interspersion of landscaping treatments in between the tiers. Now, I can tell you that we worked extensively with not only town staff, but the Conservation Authority, because one of the points that was addressed through the OMB hearing that took place was the recognition that retaining walls would be permitted in the EPA lands because it was found that they were necessary infrastructure. And that's set out very clearly in the board decision. And we worked with staff to come up with the best solution, and I think we've landed there after much analysis and sort of debate about what system is the best system. But the ultimate heights, my recollection is that at its highest point, it's in the order of 4 to 5 meters from the bottom to the top. But the vast majority of the areas elsewhere are anywhere between 2 meters and lower than that. So they're actually not very significant. The original proposal in terms of context was in excess of 10 meters in height, and that was very significant. And what I can tell you is that in this particular area, the Conservation Authority and town staff have accepted the design. Have accepted the design and also asked for detailed design so that that can be reviewed. And it was, again, I think the best result that we could expect for this particular property.
I still think that's really high. I would have preferred more of a tiered system that actually came back into the hill. You're thinking aesthetically of the people who live down there, but I'm thinking of the poor guy that happens to be walking and maybe walking through that air and falls down and over the edge of a 15, you said 5 meters, so that's like 16 feet high.
So what's important to recognize is that that is at its absolute highest point. It's not that consistently. And that's the height not of each wall, but of the total height from the lowest portion, if the grade is at the back of these yards, to the highest point. So each tier is going to be, I don't know, a meter and a half, and interspersed with plantings. Okay. So it's actually, to your point about the idea of more tiers and further into the slope, mm-hmm. I can tell you because we asked that of the TRCA, and very, very directly they said no, because our interest was to minimize the encroachment into that slope. And that question was asked among a whole host of other questions about what's the best way we can try to get this to work. And at the end of the day, we've got to work within the parameters that were given, as well as what the board considered, and good engineering practice. Now, retaining walls are not, you know, if you can avoid them, great. We try to do that. In this particular case, we just simply can't, and we've tried to work with the very best technology and the best overall slope stability condition, which is minimizing the amount of disturbance, because as soon as you start disturbing, mm-hmm. then you have potential issues. So we've addressed that, and this design has been supported by all of the engineers, slope stability. The landscape design has also been considered and, again, accepted by the town and by the Conservation Authority.
Okay, thank you for that. The other question comes down to more aesthetics. I know it's really difficult for residents who've been looking at a nice open field or a side of a hill or whatever to accept a subdivision going in there, and I'm just looking at some of the other existing houses to further up the hill looking down, and I have no idea about the height. You say your building for your retirement is 7 stories high, but I don't know how that relates to the houses that back on further up the hill. Nothing's worse than being higher up the hill and you're looking onto a roof, a flat roof with all the mechanical and all the air conditioning units and all the I'm going to, for lack of a better term, say junk that goes on top of a building. So how high is that building in relationship to the sight lines from all those residents that have been existing and looking out onto that? Where are we height-wise? Do you know?
Through you to the question, the matter of what you're addressing is fundamentally a zoning-related matter.
Mm-hmm.
Not within the full purview of the configuration of the blocks, so I just wanted to indicate that. But we did very carefully address that through the rezoning and official plan process. And actually, we provided the town staff with some vignettes that showed the views and the cross-section of the relationship between the lands at the top of the ridge and where it sat relative to the grades and the heights. And that information, I don't believe I've got it with me, but it was considered as part of this council's consideration of the zoning and official plan amendments. And it was found to be acceptable material to basically address the issue that you raised. In terms of the actual position of the elevation, I'd have to actually go to the elevations to determine where it sits relative to that. But that was done as part of the zoning process. And what was also done is a specific request to address the screening of the mechanical units, which we want to do and have contemplated that in the design. So the ultimate relationship was addressed through that process. And again, I'm not sure if my staff here have some of that. We're going to see if we can try to pull it out for you. But it did show the relationship between the retirement building height and those existing areas.
There's a small image on one of the slides.
And let me see here. Yeah, so this is the artist's rendering. This is one of the many images we sent. And this is what you would see at that elevation. And this was taken to help assist in establishing what people might see
from the
ridge.
Up by the ridge, they're going to look actually, they'll see the side of the building, not the top of the roof of the building.
Correct. And this is one of the specific images that was developed to address that question. And in addition to this imagery, there were cross-sections as well that showed the various locations. So, very important question, very obviously key issue for the design, and we have considered that, and we've made an overture to address any mechanicals above and beyond that in the design, because the final mechanical design, as you know, would come through the building permit submission with that level of detail, and we'll address that at that time as well to ensure that it's proper.
When I see pictures like this, I think that's what the building is going to look like, and including the townhouses, or is that a representation of what you're actually going to build there, or is that just a picture?
This is a picture of an artist's rendering.
But the one on the left, sorry.
The one on the left, again, is a picture of the artist's rendering of it. It's the specific materials haven't been finalized, and the site plan is still ultimately subject to final endorsement, final agreements, final plans, and we've been working with staff to get that, the precise materials identified, and the imagery doesn't always paint the real picture, as you know, but it, quite frankly, our owner's intent on building a high quality product here, good materials.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you
Councilor
very much.
Councillor Befford, questions of clarification, please.
My interest is traffic. If you could go back to the site plan, please. Could you show me, I believe, there are two entrances into the internal roadway. Is that correct?
Can you show there is...
Could you show
an
us
access,
where they are?
Yeah, so here's... the primary access, and in fact the only vehicular access in to the townhouse component of it, is from King Street in this location. The access from Station Road accesses the retirement facility. They are not connected. In terms of vehicular connectivity, they are not connected.
So my question then, through you to the staff, is it not a requirement in Caledon, particularly for emergency vehicles, that we have a second way out? Because there's been a lot of discussion about backing up and turning around, and yet we seem to be having a situation where they go into the internal network, but there's no out. So is that not a requirement of the town of Caledon? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Bedford, we do not have a specific standard with respect to number of accesses for a development. That's typically dictated through a traffic impact study. They would look at the traffic movements at one access relative to the proposed density, and if that access can sustain that or if other access measures are needed, the traffic study would arrive at that conclusion. But again, there's no standard with respect to emergency purposes.
I guess I'm a little surprised because we do subdivisions where we've actually put a new roadway in to make sure there are two entrances and exits to the location. So I'm a little bit surprised. But notwithstanding that, when you get back out onto King Street, it's a busy street. What changes were recommended on King Street to allow people to, get into the what appears to be the only entrance, and B, if they're going off the, I guess it's Station Road, there are no lights there to get in off King Street onto Station. Are there lights at Station Road?
There are ultimate plans, and there's works underway and that have been considered in the design with lane improvements.
Okay.
That to staff's comment as well. The development has been supported by a traffic impact study that not only looked at the volume that would be serviced off that access, but that volume once it exits the site or getting into the site, what needs to be done to the road network. So in this particular case, the region was considering improvements to King. That design was taken into account with our design and our traffic study and has all been accepted and endorsed by town engineering and the regional staff. And
I understand that. I'm just checking to see, you know, for example, is there a turning lane on King Street?
You'll see this this geometry, I think, shows the nature of the turning lane geometry. And there's also, I believe, a left storage lane as well contemplated that helps to assist with the overall ingress and egress from the site.
So if I'm a senior and I have a unit in the apartment building, the only way I can get into my unit is to go on Station Road and then into what, an underground parking area or above-ground parking area? Which
It's a below-grade parking structure accessed from Station Road, yes.
But I can't come in the other entrance
No.
into this enclosed roadway to get Yep. to that same location.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, it's Councillor Groves. Questions of clarification? We do have another topic after this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be very brief. And I had a resident, Mr. O'Brien, who's been communicating with staff and myself, who had planned on being here tonight but cannot get out of work. And he would like me to just have his comments and his concerns on the record tonight. So if you don't mind, I can...
Well, if they're written, you can supply them to staff, okay. And they will be part of the record.
Sure. I will forward them to staff, and then this way they do become...
And that is the same for him. He can be advised that if he provides them in writing, it will be part of the record to staff.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll forward this email to staff, so this way it is part of the record for tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. Very quickly, and this may be what Councillor Groves was referring to, but I wanted to ask it for myself anyways. And I recognize that it may not be physically practical, so I fully recognize that. But if we were to pan back and have a satellite photo, there is a green corridor that exists to the west through this site and to the east. And, you can see that green squiggly line. And I have been told that, a number of animals,
from an ecological perspective, utilize that. Through the site plan, and I understand the constraints of the site plan, is there any ability for movement through the EPA lands from west of Station Road to the east of the site, or is it too constrained to allow that?
I guess through you to the question, movement of animals?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
The ultimate approach to the way this was set out and the landscape plans, one thing I will tell you is that the current condition is somewhat of a degraded condition out there. It's not the prettiest of slopes. It's not the most well-vegetated of slopes. If you look at that landscape plan, it's an extensive replanting scenario, all native species, and it will most certainly provide whatever opportunities the animals want to take to have some fun in the forest, so to speak, and move through the site. The bottom line is that is an environmentally protected area by zoning. We've contemplated that. We've planted it to suit that function, and there would be no impediment except for fences and roads that already exist. We're not introducing anything new.
Okay, so. Thank you.
Okay, that concludes the questions. So I want to say this concludes tonight's public meeting. We'll break for just a couple of minutes and we'll move into the next topic. 2016-61, Region Appeal, Bolton Residential Expansion, Region Official Plan Amendment, Discussion Paper, April 15th, 2016. So I have a mover. Councillor Innes, the seconder is Councillor Mezzapelli. Okay, that staff report 2016-61 regarding Peel Region, Bolton Residential Expansion, Regional Official Plan Amendment, Discussion Paper, April 15th, 2016, be received, and that Table 1, Subsection A of the Staff Report 2016-61 be approved as the Town's position regarding the Region of Peel Region Discussion Paper regarding the Bolton Residential Expansion, Regional Official Plan Amendment, and that the Region of Peel be requested to consider the Town's position on the Region of Peel's Discussion Paper regarding Bolton Residential Expansion Official Regional Official Plan Amendment as identified in Table 1, Schedule A of Staff Report 201661, and that Staff Report 2016-61 be forwarded to the City of Brampton and City of Mississauga for their information. Do we have, and that's not the report. Okay, Councillor Groves, you asked for, no, Councillor Mezzapelli asked for it to be held, so he gets to speak first.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. Thank you, staff, for this report. I found it to be very detailed, including Mr. McDonald's report, which is attached. Just some things that I observed going through it, and when I looked at, starting on page 2 of 5, the 18 points that the Region Appeal will be considering in reviewing the BRES, I just want to make the observation that 7 out of the 18 related directly or very closely to infrastructure, transportation, water, and wastewater. I want to publicly state that those are critical, important features in considering where to develop residential properties. And I know very clearly it was identified in our review. But I just observe that of the 6 themes, it is identified 7 times. Again, although very important, it is repeated over and over again. So I make that note. A lot of the questions I had were also noted by Mr. McDonald in his 40 points, I believe, of commentary to the discussion paper. So I won't repeat a lot of what he had well characterized. But I do want to just highlight a couple. And one is theme six, item number 18, which is on page 3 of 5, when it talks about the importance of complying with a number of provincial policies and plans and things like that. And I note that nowhere in this does it mention the proposed, whether it's going to happen or not, GTA West corridor study area, which was a certainly recognized in our review, and yet I noticed that it is absent in the discussion paper here. The last point I guess I want to make is, and I made it last time we were here discussing this, was the significance and the importance of public consultation. And I was fortunate to be a part of the BRES exercise that the town undertook from beginning to end, and was a very strong proponent and was very glad to see the very strong public engagement piece. Over a prolonged period of time, over a number of instances, we engaged with the public, be it a developer or a builder or a landowner or just a regular citizen of the area. And I found that to be key. And when I look at the review that the region is undertaking now, I know that there was one meeting and that there is an opportunity for the public to provide feedback. But I think the public feedback that the town received over the BRES project is absolutely as relevant to the regional process as it was to ours. And yet I don't see anywhere in the report or the discussion paper other than mentioning that our studies will be considered, that those public statements and comments and feedback are going to be reviewed and considered by the region. And I'm just wondering if staff would be able to tell me whether it is something that we can do. Was there public comment that would be worthy of sharing with the region?
Through you, Mr. Chair. It is our normal practice that when we submit for these ROPA application, the public comments are attached to our application. What you're seeing in front of you are two bigger volumes of these loom binders. One is our application with the supporting studies. The other volume, the one down there, is all the comments we have received through the process. And we have purposefully kept everything on the record to ensure that this whole process is open, fair, and transparent. And whoever wants to review it, it is on the record.
And I appreciate that. The question I have is, at the regional review, will that, as public comment, be taken, or would we rely on them going through our whole ROPA and pulling out all the comments? Is it as concise as you have it there in that binder? Because I think that is vital information as far as being a part of this review.
Through you, Mr. Chair. The region's review is a consideration of the town's ROPA application. All these documents submitted are deemed part of the review process.
Okay, and I'm not trying to be difficult, but when I look at the discussion paper and I look at the comments received, I don't find those. I find what I see on their website. I cannot pull those up. I want to feel assured that those comments that we received are now going to be received by the Region of Peel.
Yes, we will make sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I, Chair DeBoer, I just wanted to make one more point about the... I understand the Region of Peel is very concerned about regional services, water, wastewater, transportation. And we were, too. I think it ranked 5 out of 5 as far as a priority in our review. And I just want to note that to show how we are concerned, we're all Peel taxpayers with regional concerns, is for many of the other criteria that we had, I ranked option one actually is higher in a number of instances. And it was the regional services, water, wastewater, and transportation that really solidified in my mind that the right choice was option three, which was a suggestion of the consultant. So I think it's worth noting for the Region Appeals information is that we here consider regional issues in our discussion and in our determination as to the option to select. So I think it's important to note that we are concerned with regional considerations as well. Thanks.
Okay, Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. I have a number of questions, I guess. One, it's my understanding that the region is going to be coming with a draft report on June 24th or somewhere around there to council, and I think that, that will address a lot of things as we move forward in the process. My understanding also is that in September, they will be going and holding a public meeting so that the public will have an opportunity to comment as well. And I'm certain that those comments that were made by the public during the BRES process, which I was not part of, and I don't have a lot of, and I didn't attend them, so I don't have a lot of information on what happened there, but I would hope that that would be addressed through this public meeting that the region will be holding in September. On page three, on the Meridian, where Meridian's comments are, through you, Mr. Chair, to staff, I just wondered, did we do a fiscal impact study on all of the options, from options 1 to 6?
Mr. Chair, with your permission, I'd like to invite our consultant, Mr. McDonough, to come and respond to this question, please. Thank you.
As just through you, as I recall anyways, we went through a two-step process in terms of figuring out where the recommended option would end up being. And through the first step, there was a screening done of all of the options from a whole variety of different perspectives. But when we came back and suggested that there was a very, both options one and options three scored fairly highly in our initial assessment and our screening exercise, we were then directed to look at those in much more detail, and that's when we spent a lot more time on those options from every different perspective, including financial as well. So there was an initial screening done initially, and then there was a much more detailed exercise undertaken that looked at the fiscal impacts from both a regional perspective and a town perspective, and those reports are included within that binder as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing what the fiscal impact study is on all of the options, which would be the first step you said you did. And then when you narrowed it down, you focused more on the two that scored the highest. So I wouldn't mind seeing.
But you won't find a fiscal impact study on any options other than 1 and 3.
Okay.
Because the other ones were taken out prior to during the first round, and we were left with 1 and 3, and then those two were evaluated on fiscal part of the fiscal impact. Correct?
That's right.
Okay. Okay. I guess
any
it must
questions?
Be somewhere. I do. On page 3 of your report, Mr. McDonald, the first paragraph we were talking about structure of community going forward and the significant infrastructure and transportation network decisions that will be made. Was there anything done on this, or what's preventing that from happening?
I guess an answer of your question. When we first looked at the six options, we developed a series of criteria in draft form, went out to the public, got their comments, came to this council, got more comments, and then refined those criteria. One of the criteria we identified at the time was Caledon Criterion 2, as we call it. And that criteria basically dealt with what impacts the selection of whatever option would have on the ability of the region, the town, even the province to carry out future long-term planning in a very large area. So it certainly was a consideration and had an impact on my opinion with respect to narrowing the options down to options 1 and 3. Because as you, we certainly felt, or I certainly felt at the time, that the lands between Mayfield and King Road, there is a highway being contemplated in that area. There are a whole bunch of decisions that get made, need to get made as a consequence of that highway. And in looking at the amount of land we were dealing with for residential development, it really paled in comparison to the greater amount of land that may be affected by these future planning decisions. So it certainly was a factor in our thinking when we narrowed down the options down to options 1 and 3. And as I've indicated in this memorandum, and it's also replicated in the town's report as well, the town, we were looking at a pre-2031 planning issue, whereas there were a number, and there are still a number of post-2031 planning issues out there. And certainly from my perspective, again, it's always good planning to take those into account when you're thinking ahead about what's the best decision to make today. And in addition to that, it's always good planning to keep as many options open as you go forward as well. And both of those factors and both of those sentiments and opinions filter their way into the screening process initially and had a significant impact or had an impact on the selection of options 1 and 3 going forward. So that's a little bit of background, but
okay.
A lot of thinking was given to that particular point.
Okay, great. And I know both yourself and the town, we had expressed some concerns about long-term planning in Bolton. So that would be your pre-2031 is where you were expressing those concerns, both yourself and us. And I guess my question is, why didn't we consider all of these things when we were looking at the pre, raise all of this when we were looking at the pre-2031 growth numbers? I know the region is undertaking a post-2031 study right now, but I don't know how that fits into this, and I don't think that it fits into this. I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is pre-2031. Is that correct?
Yes. So I'll try not to give a long answer, so I won't give a long answer.
Okay.
thank you very much.
Okay.
So there is a strategy in place currently within the town that deals with how growth is to be distributed. In the town. That's the trinodal strategy that you've heard about. So a decision was made long before we got involved in the process on how the growth that was expected pre-2031 was to be divided between Mayfield West, Caledon East, and Bolton. So that decision was made. Our job was to say, okay, that's the increment of growth that is going to Bolton. Where is the best place for it to go? So that is very simply our process. And it is a pre-2031 process, clearly. The intent was to identify lands that would be developed before 2031. What we're talking about in this report is that there are a whole variety of other issues, some of which are now underway, that deal with post-2031 matters. That's the highway. That's where new employment lands are going to be located. What is the next increment of growth post-2031 going to 2041? Some fairly significant decisions. So that's where the difference is between what we were doing at the time and what still needs to be done, in my opinion, moving forward. And to some extent, even the project that the town is undertaking now, which is the visioning exercise for the White Belt, is part of that thinking. And clearly there's a need to think about that and do that going forward.
Okay. And just finally, Mr. Chair, I would have hoped that we would have sort of rolled all of this into one ROPA. When you're looking at doing the planning and you plan for your employment lands as well as your residential and just have one ROPA, I would think that would simplify the process much better and run those two things concurrently. So just a comment that moving forward, that I would hope that that's what we would be doing. Then we don't have the issues. We wouldn't have the issues that we have right now and the challenges that we have had we sort of combined those ROPA, because as I guess according to Places to Grow talks about the ratio, the 50 jobs and people combined. So moving forward, I think there are lessons to be learned here. I would hope that we would run those two processes concurrently, because I think it would be have more benefits to the community when we do that and roll it into one ROPA. I think we've done that in Mayfield West with ROPA 29, and through you, Mr. Chair, staff can correct me if I'm wrong, but ROPA 29, I think it does deal with employment lands and residential, and that makes for good planning in the community when you're talking about infrastructure, when you're talking about connectivity, when you're talking about all of those live work, that sort of thing, as per Places to Grow. So I would just make those comments. That I don't know if you want to respond, but I would just make the comment.
I don't think that staff understand that, and I think that in the next round there's going to be both employment and residential numbers in it, and in this case there was only residential numbers, so that's why it ended up being a residential ROPA as opposed to, and the next one will have both. So I think staff fully understand that, and I think that sounds like the way it's going on the next one.
Okay.
Was that concluding?
I think so.
Thank you.
Finally, I'm sorry.
Well, you said okay, and then now you got to find it.
Sorry, I found another page. I made some notes. Page 4, Mr. McDonald, on your report. I think the region considered the GTA West Corridor and where it's supposed to be going. When I read their discussion paper, it seemed to me that they did take that into consideration. So I just want to make that comment. I know that you disagreed with that you didn't think that they took that into consideration. And who knows what's happening with that GTA West Corridor. And I certainly hope that the province is going to tell us soon what it is that they're doing about that corridor. So those are my comments.
Okay. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. Just one quick comment. The Schedule A is, which you have put together, Mr. McDonald, is very concise in identifying the town's concerns. And the question I have is, what is the expectation of staff as we submit this to the Region of Peel, as probably the single most, I would think, valued stakeholder in this exercise? The town represents so many diverse groups. What is our expectation as far as a response to the reception of this?
So you're asking staff?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I'll go through sure staff.
That was a staff question or a question for me? I guess if you're asking me, I'm certainly hopeful that they take these comments along with every other comment that'll be submitted. And I'm anticipating there already is, of course, a lot of interest in this process. And I'm going to assume, for the purposes of moving forward, that this is going to be one of many documents that they have to look at. And one of the things I said in here, and what I'm recommending, is that before the region goes too far, they have to think about all of the things that are being said by these various parties before they jump into another phase. So I'm certainly hopeful, but I can't tell you what they'll do, but I'm hopeful that they'll certainly consider all of this moving forward.
Okay, and I guess my last point would be, you used the word a couple times of consider, and I know one very clear concern that you raised is that you feel strongly there should be an interim step in this process, which, you know, as Councillor Groves described, is not too far away. It is fairly imminent in this process. So, again, giving consideration is pretty general, loose terminology. We have some, excuse me, very direct specific questions and concerns. I would hope that those get addressed in our consultation with the region as we go through this process. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. No further questions. So the motion, if I need to read it again, moved by Councillor Innes, seconded by Councillor Mezzapelli. Do I have all in favor? All in favor? Carried. So this concludes the meeting, so adjourned.